And as we begin this journey through Lent, Lord God, we remember Jesus' sacrifice and we give you thanks. We thank you for our Savior, beautiful Savior. The song says, and what a beautiful Savior you are, Lord Jesus. And we will take these 40 days and we will remember your great sacrifice for us. And so, Lord God, speak a word for us now, a word that we could go through Lent with, Lord, and a word of hope, a word that will sustain, a word that will encourage, and most of all, remind us of your great love for us. And take hold of me, the preacher, God, and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And now my sermon title tonight, as we will try to be as brief as I will strive, is Instructions for Holy Lent. And for those of you who are here often, you know, I will strive for that tonight. It is Ash Wednesday, and we do have communion, and we have the ashes. So let me begin by this. You know, we tend to talk about Lent, or when Lent begins, oftentimes about what we are giving up to eat. We do that. It's an American culture. Now, when Lent starts, we say, I'm going to give up this to eat, or not have chocolate, or not have ice cream. And so if we don't watch out, Lent becomes a diet plan. You know, a mini diet plan. You know what I'm talking about, right? For many of us, it's a mini diet plan. We says, oh, if I give up the, and I could speak for myself. We all do it in the back of our heads. You know, we aim to be holy, but we are going on to perfection. And then so we says, oh, at the end of Lent, if I give up all those cakes, I'm going to weigh a little bit less. You know what I mean. So we are sacrificing with benefits at the end. And the benefits are normally what we see, we want to see on the outside. But Lent is much more than that. Lent is a lot more about the inner person. As Paul would say, the inner man, but the inner person, that inner, what is inside of us. Because we are reminded again during Lent that, you know, God looks at the heart, right? Human being looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And so Lent has its own instructions, and it's all in the scriptures. And so I wanted to just give this one of this reflection I read concerning I think the attributes of Lent, or one of the expectations of Lent, and from us. And the story goes, it's about a Japanese, I believe it was a Japanese young man. He was a laborer, and he was a Korean student. And a Korean student was in Japan for language study. And he leaped down on the tracks to save this Japanese laborer who had jumped on the tracks. And when the train was coming coming directly at them, the oncoming train, they were both killed. This selfless act, the writer says, by the Korean student on behalf of the Japanese laborer, has caused many people in Japan to reconsider their long-held prejudices directed towards Koreans, because there's been that conflict in Japan. Strong feelings of distrust between the two countries go back to World War II, the World War II atrocities inflicted upon Koreans by the Japanese. Many Japanese people, including the Prime Minister of Japan, have openly expressed sorrow over their previously held stereotypes of Koreans and have begun to talk about reconciliation. And so, a 60-year-old Japanese said, I felt kind of ashamed. A young foreigner sacrifices life for Japanese. This is not an easy thing to do. And so the writer says that the end reconciliation really occurs without sacrifice. By giving his one and only son, God took the initiative in healing our broken relationship with him. He made the supreme sacrifice for us that we might be reconciled to him. So friends, one of the attributes or the key points of this period of time is to be reminded that we too can be reconciled with God. And that reconciliation would take a great sacrifice. If you remember well, this story did not just begin right here in Lent, but because sin had separated humanity from God, there was a plan of God to reconcile humanity back to God. That was the plan of God throughout the Old Testament, throughout all of the Old Testament, and into the New Testament. We see that plan unfolding to reconcile humanity back to God. That was the plan. So for us, even if we have been out of relationship with God, if we have got a little bit angry with God, if we got a little upset about what God has done and not done for us, during this season of Lent, one of the first things we could do is we begin to seek to be reconciled to God. Reconciliation. That coming back. Coming together. Because God is a forgiving God. That saying, God, I don't always get it. I don't always know what you're doing, God. But I know you're still God. And here I am. Reconciliation should be one of the things one should seek during the season of Lent. And another one that we should seek during the season of Lent, and because, you know, we know that Jesus Christ came with a ministry of reconciliation. We're going to see that in Corinthians. They just said it in Corinthians when you heard it read. His ministry was a ministry of reconciliation. Jesus Christ came to bring us back into what? Right relationship with God. Right? To fix it. To make it better. Forever and ever. His ministry. But we have some work to do to get to that reconciliation, don't we? So one of the things we need to be doing during Lent is to repent. One person says, God won't repent for you. God won't repent for us. He won't repent for me. God will take 9 steps toward us. But God will not take the 10th. He will incline us to repent, but he cannot do our repenting for us. God will take the 9 steps towards us. He said, come to me all who are burdened and heavy laden. Come and I'll give you rest. Call on me and I'll answer. Call on me. He will take 9 steps toward us. But he will not take the 10th step. We have to make the move to God also. And he's only asking us to make 1 out of 10 steps. God is going to make 9 of them. We just have to make 1. Lent is a time when we can think that through and make that 1 step to God, friends. To go forward to him. Go forward to God. And then there's the power and purpose of fasting. What does it mean to fast? Does it just mean, as I said, a mini diet? No. Fasting makes us vulnerable and reminds us of our frailty. Fasting. Fasting reminds us to remember that we are not, if we are not fed, we will die. When you fast and you have a meal, if you turn your plate down and don't have a meal, you realize that. For those of us who fast, you realize that. And you know what is amazing? When we have to get a checkup at the hospital or something and they tell us to fast, we do fast, don't we? They say drink nothing but water. And sometimes you try to get the earliest appointment in the morning. Right? They're going to take your blood and you try to get the 8 o'clock appointment. Because we can't. But fasting can also be a discipline of when we don't eat that piece of food or eat that meal, we take the time to reflect on God, that moment, to reflect on the Lord, to begin to search ourselves, as God searches us. Standing before God hungry, the writer says, I suddenly know who I am. I am one who is poor, called to be rich in a way that the world does not understand. I am one who is empty, called to be filled with the fullness of God. I am one who is hungry, called to taste all the goodness that God can be mine in Christ. When you stand before God and you're a little bit hungry, you take the time to be one with God. A lady called today when I was in the office. I'd been here all day. Missy had gone. And she called and she said to me, I picked up the phone, said hello, and she said, when are you giving ashes? At first I didn't get it. And she says, when are you giving the ashes? And I says, excuse me, what is that? Oh, she says, when are you giving ashes? Then I clicked in my brain. She meant the ashes for Ash Wednesday. And I said, oh, you have to come to service. We have it at 7:30. She says, oh, no, I can't. I thought you were just giving it now. Right? And I says, no, we have a service and you're invited to come. I want to share with us that we should not be looking for the byproducts. She, you know, just to get ashes for the sake of getting ashes doesn't mean anything. What does it mean? Right? It has to mean a kind of getting the ashes is an Old Testament symbolism of what? Mourning. They mourned in ashes and sackcloth, the Jewish people, right? Because our faith is a Judeo-Christian faith. And when they were mourning because they were sorrowful, they would mourn in ashes and sackcloth, right? If you go back and read the text, you know, Old Testament text, Joel is going to talk about that. Mourning in ashes and sackcloth because they're sorry for what they have done. I know we live in a world now, nobody's sorry for what they do. You look at the TV, everybody is so out there. And all their lives are out there, and the worse they are, is the more news they get. The worse, the things they say that is the most horrible and shocking is the more news they get. But we who are Christians are called to a higher ideal. And I always like the season of Lent because it humbles me. It reminds me that from dust I came and to dust I will return. Should remind us all. So my instructions for Lent are right in the scriptures, friend. Right in the scriptures that were read. The Joel scripture was not fully read, but it's at the back of your bulletin. But Joel reminds us that we should, he says, yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. He was saying, I have a heart that is broken for Christ. So those are a couple of the instructions. We don't have to get another book or pamphlet. We have the Holy Word. And these scriptures have the Holy Word. Rend your hearts. Mourn before God. Seek Him. Ask Him. Create in me a clean heart. That's what we'll see. We will also see that where? We'll see that in Psalm 51, which is a psalm of confession that will be read, the psalm of David. After David had sinned against God, David knew what he had to do. And some of those lines in that psalm verses reminds us. It says, have mercy upon me. So what another instruction is again? It is repentance and penance. To repent, friends. I know nobody repents anymore, but we are special. We are royal people, royal priesthood. We have been called and set apart. We have said yes to Jesus, so we are living to a higher ideal, friends. It says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant of mercy, blot out my transgression. Blot out my sins, God Almighty. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. What hope we have that God would allow these words that we could read again and come back to Him. Right? And then David would say, David, who was a man after God's own heart, not because he was perfect, because he sinned against God, but he knew how to go to God and ask for forgiveness. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new spirit, a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away, O God. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Should we beg God not to take his spirit from us? What would we do without God, friends? Is it possible to live without God? Not for us. It may be possible for others, but not for us. And then David would say, restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain in me a willing spirit. The Lord will restore us. This is the hope of Easter Sunday morning, isn't it? We don't want to run there yet. We want to sacrifice through Lent, right? We want to repent through Lent. We want to seek God through Lent. We want to be reconciled through Lent, don't we, friends? We want to be able to kneel on our knees and say, oh God, here I am. Wash me and cleanse me with the hyssop so that I will be clean. Oh, God Almighty. And he says he will forgive us of our sins. And then we are reminded in the gospel that, listen, that gospel that was read in Korean and in English, what it's saying, that gospel, don't brag. Don't brag and boast. I'm simplifying it. He says if you're doing good, if you decide to do good during Lent, which is another Lenten, people have said you could give alms concerning prayer. He says what? If you're giving alms, if you're giving to mission and sir, beware of practicing your piety before others. Don't tell everybody how much you're giving, what you're giving. You know, just do it. You know, to be humble, humility is a good thing to take up during Lent. Isn't it, humility? And he says concerning prayer. And he certainly didn't mean corporate prayer, because we do pray corporately together. But when we go into your closet, your prayer closet, don't be like the hypocrites. Pray to God. Seek God in a one-on-one relationship with God. And Lord knows when you're fasting, you know, when you're fasting and you get hungry, you know, there are people who are fasting and they tell you they're fasting and they're so mean when they're fasting, you beg them to eat. You say, please go eat. You know, because it's not working. You know, if you get that hungry, go eat, because you know what I'm saying. I used to know a woman in another church, not in this lovely church with you lovely people. And that person would be fasting, and when they were fasting, you knew they were fasting because they would just be so angry. And every time you said something, she would say, I can't have that because I'm fasting. And I always used to say, who made you fast? It's not prison. If you don't want to, eat. Eat something. And so this is what he's telling you here. And then as I close, Jesus says to us here, he says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Store it up, treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is where your heart will be also. You know, we say it wrong sometimes. You know, people says, where your heart is where your treasure is. No, Jesus says, where your treasure is where your heart is. Jesus is saying, where you put all your stuff, all your good stuff, is where your heart is. So during Lent, if we've been doing that, seek Christ. And then Paul closes with, so we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. Friends, let us be reconciled for our sake. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, became sin so that you and I could become the righteousness of God. Isn't that awesome? We have the opportunity now during Lent. We have the opportunity, friends, to do what? To be reconciled again to God. If we have broken the relationship, here's what I want to end with. God wants us to make up with God. God wants us to make up with Him. Lent is about making up with God, doing whatever is possible and needed to let God know that you love God and that you're going to change and serve Him. What a loving God we have. He's truly in love with us. Loves us so much that He doesn't give up on us. And so during Lent, we have an opportunity to draw close to God. Draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. And so I am looking forward to this season for me to draw closer to God and to repent myself and to seek forgiveness and to love Him more and then to get up and serve Him. That is my prayer for all of you. Thanks be to God for this season of Lent, and may you have a holy Lent. May you seek Him. He's just waiting patiently, and He'll make 10 steps to get to you. All you've got to do, my beloved, is to make one step to God. Can you do that? Say amen.